Today, what I want to share, I'm going to share something today about whose report will you believe? Whose report will you believe today? Now, today, just so we get a perspective here, today is not only just the last service of this year, it's the last service of this decade. This is the last service in 2010 decade. We're transitioning into a new decade. And there's some significance to this. There's a season we're in, and we're moving into a different, we're going to move into some a season here where I believe there's going to be greater, we're seeing it now, but you're going to see a greater harvest of souls. You're going to see a greater, what's the term I use, a greater revelation in God's word, and you're going to see a greater, you're going to see God's greater glory. You're going to see more of God's glory in signs and wonders. So we're seeing that, but we're going to see greater. And I believe in this season that we're transitioning in, there's going to be greater revelation in God's word, just greater in knowing God, greater in his manifestations of glory. I believe that. We're seeing it now. People hungry for the word of God. So this is a time like no other that we're in. It's a time of what? Gross darkness, we see it, but the light is going to shine brighter and brighter and brighter in this season that we're in. Brighter. Hallelujah. Now, this also, and I'm leading to a point here, this also is a time where information, it's a time in history like no other, where information is so readily available at your fingertips. I mean, forget paper. You just click, click, and you got information. It's like a time like no other, right? And sometimes, because of this, it's really difficult sometimes to know what's true. Because you got so much information now that you've got to parse through it to see what's true. Because people are saying all kinds of stuff. Just because it's in print, just because it's on television or radio or the internet doesn't mean it's truthful. People are paid to write things just to write it. But it's important in life to believe the right report. It's important to believe the right thing, to believe what's true. It can make a difference. It can be life or death, right? So every day, every one of us have to make choices all the time. We're confronted all the time where we have to make choices and decisions. Choices and decisions. So every day we have a D-Day, a decision day. Every day we have to make choices. So let's look on that. Let's turn over for a moment to Isaiah 55. Isaiah chapter 55 and look at verses 8 through 11. And I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 11. Very familiar scripture. This is why it's important. Whose report are you going to believe? Whose thoughts are you going to believe? He said, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts." I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Says the Lord, "And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. The rain and snow come down from heaven and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the ground to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. It is the same. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. Hallelujah. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. Oh, yes. So God's word will not return void or empty. It will always produce fruit. You know, we spent time, I did, sharing some messages entitled The Power of the Seed. And it would be good to go back and listen to those messages on the power of the seed. The seed will always produce. The word will always produce, given the right conditions. Now let's take a look at Isaiah 53. Just back up a few chapters and verse 1. Isaiah 53, verse 1. I'm going to read this and just this first verse and a couple of translations, the King James, the Amplified Classic, and the Passion Translation. Just give you a little overview here. Isaiah 53, verse 1 in the King James. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Hallelujah. And let's look at the Amplified Classic. Same verse. It says, who has believed, trusted in, relied upon, and clung to our message of that which was revealed to us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been disclosed? And then look at the Passion Translation, if you have it, or you got your electronic device. It says, who has truly believed our revelation? To whom will Yahweh reveal his mighty arm? Hallelujah. So we can see here, as it says in Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. His word's settled. So his report is settled in heaven. I like the New Living. It says, your eternal word, O Lord, stands firm in the heavens. Some translations say your word is fixed. The NIV, it says, your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. So every day, every one of us gets reports or information. We get information from many sources. And we do that, that's okay. We get those reports in order to help us in various things. Could be your health, medical reasons. Could be business reasons. Could be financial reasons. These are things that we get sources of information for help. Could be help in your marriages, help in your families or children. But we are going to have to, when we get that information, we are going to have to decide whose report we're going to believe. We're going to have to decide. It's a decision. I know Brother Hagin used to say it when he was alive. He'd say, what does the word say? Here's a report. What does the word of God say? See, always bring it back to that place. What does the word of God say? So spiritually speaking, in the sense, we are going to have to believe God's report of his word. We are either going to have to believe that or the negative report from our circumstances or the devil. It's either one or the other. We've all been there. How many been there? Been there. And sometimes, you know, the devil doesn't come to us personally. He'll come through people. You know, you're believing God for something and they'll say, well, yeah, I believe for that, but it didn't work for me. So why do you think it's going to work for you? Because I believe God. That's why it's going to work for me. That's why it didn't work for you. You didn't believe God. You let go. All through Jesus' ministry said, thy faith hath made thee whole. So that's why it'll work for you if you have faith. You see. It doesn't mean we ignore circumstances. You get information, but at the same time, you're going to have to believe. But God said this, and so I'm going to believe God. You know, there's a saying, we've said it around here for years. I've heard others say it. God said it, that settles it, and I choose to believe it. See, God said it. Let's say that. God said it. I believe it. And I choose to believe it. See, you have to choose to believe what God has said and settled. See, if you don't, then it doesn't work for you. When I choose to believe God's word, that's when things begin to work for me or you. If you begin to question God's word, then you're in doubt. It's not going to work for you. Get more of the word in your heart, in your spirit. And then faith comes and you'll be just like us. Oh yeah, I believe God. I believe what he said. Hallelujah. So think about this. Not only do we have to make choices, but I'm going to spend a few moments here and let's look at the Bible, because there are people in the Bible that had situations that they had to choose, just like we did. They had to choose to believe God, to believe his report. Did they not? Hallelujah. We're going to have to believe the report of the Lord. No matter what it looks like. Let's go over to Romans. Let's look at Abraham for a moment. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. Familiar passage. Romans chapter 4. And let's look at verse 17. I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. Romans chapter 4. In the New Living, starting in verse 17, it says, that is what the scriptures mean when God told him, I've made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have, when he told him to look up, look at the stars. And Abraham's faith did not weaken. Even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead. And so was Sarah's womb. So they were past childbearing age, both of them. And so here, it says here, in verse 20, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. In this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, It wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit too, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. So here we have two reports, don't we, concerning Abraham and Sarah. They've got a natural report. They've got a report that says, there's no way you can have children. There's no way you're past age. They had a natural report that told them, not possible. It's impossible. But what did they do? It says here, Abraham had to disregard that report and believe the report of the God when he said in verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, right? According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And you can go back in Genesis 15, where he said, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him saying, this shall not, he's talking about Ishmael, because Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one is born in my house, the one born in my house is an heir. So he's telling God, Ishmael's going to be the heir. And God says, no, no. He said, you're going to have seed from Sarah. You're going to have a child. So they had to believe that report, didn't they? They had to believe the report that God spoke to them. Hallelujah. Now let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's look at Paul here for a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17 and 18. This is from the New Living Translation I'm reading. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. It says, for our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. Oh, yes. That takes faith, doesn't it? For things we see now will soon be gone. They're temporary. But the things we cannot see will last forever. They're eternal. Hallelujah. Paul is saying we can fix our attention on the present issues, which are temporary, or we can fix our attention on the Word of God, his report. Hallelujah. Which are what? His report, the Word of God, those things are eternal. So there are situations that we face in life all the time where we're going to have to choose to believe the report of the Lord, his Word, instead of the natural report, which is temporary. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. This is a familiar scripture here for us. This is Paul writing here. He said, the things happened to them. He's talking about the children of God. He said, these things, I'm reading from the New Living, by the way. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. It says, these things happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. So what is an example? If that was an example, what's an example? Something to do or something not to do. That's what an example is. Something we're to do or not to do. It has consequences, right? And what should we do? We should learn from these examples. That's the whole point. God took the time to inspire Paul to write these things down so that they'd be examples for us so we didn't have to make the same mistakes. I mean, you do that with your children, right? And they still want to do stuff. You tell them, don't do that, don't do that. And they go, and they do it anyways. How many have done that? We all have, right? Some way or another, we found a way to ignore the warnings. Right. Now let's take another look here in a very familiar passage here. There's so many. But let's go over to Numbers 13. You know the story. This is the story where one from each tribe of the 12 tribes went in to spy out the land given to them by God. And you can see here, whose report were they going to believe? It got them into trouble. 40 years worth of trouble, and everybody had to die off. That's how much trouble that caused, not believing that report. I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. Numbers 13, verse 25. It said, after exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit they had taken from the land. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore. It is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites and Jebusites and Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once to take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They're stronger than we are. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. Watch out for those that spread bad reports in your life. Because when you're believing God, you're believing God. Don't entertain bad reports. It can be costly. And he said, so they spread a bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. In verse 33, we even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too. So here, the 12 came back and brought back 10 of them anyways, not two, Joshua and Caleb. But 10 of them came back with a bad report. They said it was all that God said it was, but we can't take it. But Joshua and Caleb had a different report, didn't they? Caleb tried to still them and said, come on, let's go do it now. We can do it. God is with us. That's the same kind of spirit we have to have. God is with me in this that I'm walking through. Didn't say we're not going to face mountains. I like what Brother Hagin says. Don't face your mountain with your mouth closed. You got a mountain facing you? Open your mouth and speak words of faith. Speak his report. Hallelujah. So Caleb tried to quiet the people. So here we have two reports. We've got a negative report and we've got a report that says, God said this, let's go do it. But what happened? The negative report prevailed. Oh, and they didn't believe the report of the Lord. I mean, when you go over in Numbers 14, you can see here, verse 6. In the New Living, it says, two of the men who had explored the land, Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, tore their clothing. They said to all the people of Israel, the land we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into that land and give it to us. It is a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us. They have no protection. Sounds like David, doesn't it? But the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. But the whole community began to talk about stoning Joshua and Caleb. Then the presence of the Lord appeared to all the Israelites at the tabernacle. Oh, that wasn't good. That wasn't good. And we know the rest of the story. It wasn't the only two that made it in, and their descendants was Joshua and Caleb. They believed God. They believed what he said, not the naysayers, not the negative report. God's word is settled. You know, I was looking this up. When you accept something, just the word accept, A-C-C-E-P-T, I know we have E-X-C-E-P-T, but A-C-C-E-P-T, to accept something means to receive something willingly. It means another, this just out of the dictionary, it means to recognize as true. So when you accept a negative report, you accept that as true. That's why it's important. What does the Word of God say? Because that's what's settled. That's what's true. And we need to weigh everything that comes in against the Word of God. Doesn't mean we don't get counsel. Doesn't mean we don't get information to help us. But at the end of the day, when we have to make a choice or a decision, I'm going to believe God's Word. I'm going to believe that for me. Because that will bring me to victory. That'll see me through, won't it? See you through. Let's take another look at another account. Let's look at the woman with the issue of blood. She had a report. She had reports her whole life. Mark 5. What are you faced with? What report are you going to believe? Mark chapter 5. I'm going to read this from the New King James Version. Mark 5, starting in verse 25. So many choices to make, decisions to make. Which report am I going to believe? Which one am I going to hold on to? Here's what the woman with the issue of blood says. Now, a certain woman, reading from the New King James, had a flow of blood for 12 years. That's a long time. And had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be well. How could she say that? Because she heard a report. She heard of Jesus, and she decided, I believe that report over the 12 years of reports that I've gotten and gotten no better. But it says she grew worse. She heard a report and said, I believe that. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him. And what did she do? She told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Whose report are you going to believe? Whose report, whose word are you going to believe? You know, I've said this in past lessons. Words, people put value on words. People sometimes today, they put no value on words. Words are just words. No, words are containers of someone's thoughts. And you need to know who inspired those thoughts. Because those words that are spoken came from someone's thoughts. That's why it's important what kind of music we listen to, what we read, what we watch. Because somebody was inspired to write something, to pen something. Is it true? Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. Looking just a few more here. Hebrews chapter 11. You can look at this whole chapter. Each one of them had to make choices. But they believe God. Look at verse 7 of Hebrews 11. This is in the New King James Version. Verse 7. Talking about Noah. See, Noah got a report from God. Build an ark. What does verse 7 say? By faith. That means he had to make a choice here, didn't he? When you operate in faith, that means you heard something, you saw something, and you made a choice to operate something. So by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of what? Things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Let's look at verse 8, same chapter. Abraham. By faith, Abraham did what? He obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And you go back to Genesis 22, where God spoke to him. And he spoke to him to do what? Take your son and sacrifice him. Who? And Abraham did what? He believed God. Look at Sarah, verse 11. It says, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength. This is a New King James Version. To conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she did what? She judged him faithful who had promised. So here, Sarah, and you can go back and you can look at, I believe it's Genesis 17, where God spoke and said, you're going to bear a child. She had to judge him faithful, and she believed that report. What reports has God spoken to you? What words has he revealed to you? That's the question. As we leave out this year and we enter into a new year, a new decade, I'm committed to believe the report of the Lord. If God has sent us or has assigned you to do something, believe that report. I don't care what comes, what kind of obstacles come. Bless God, God assigned me to do this, and I'm going to walk through it. I'm going to do it. come what may. You know, I'll just share something for me in a personal side. I had a good job when I was working in corporate America. I had a nice job. And I heard the Holy Ghost say, I'll just share it. In 1981, I had a young lady walk up to me and say, "You'll be in full-time ministry in 3 years." Now, you know, if you're immature and young, you can run off and just think all kinds of goofy stuff. So I started thinking, I got to go to Rhema. And that wasn't the path. In 3 years, to the month, November of 1984, Pastor Clinton walked up to me and he said, "Sarah and I see," this is the way he said it, "Sarah and I see you working in the ministry." That was 3 months, and the Holy Ghost said, "Remember?" I didn't want to leave the job I was in. I really didn't. And I said, "Well, I'll pray about it." You know, the churchy answer, you know. "I'll pray about that." And I knew inside, I didn't want to leave. I had to make a choice to quit this good-paying job, which I loved doing. I loved writing software. I liked it. I enjoyed it. But God had something different for me. And I had to make a choice. So I chose to put in my resignation. They didn't want me to leave. And it's a matter of fact, just before I left, this is what I'm talking about. What happens just before I put my resignation in, the vice president over one of the engineering areas, because that's who I mainly interacted with, he came and said, "We'd like to assign you to oversee this big project in the company. And we're going to send you down to Florida and blah, 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 blah." And boy, it was like this. A big carrot hanging right here. Man, was it a big carrot. Just before I made that choice. And I said, "I can't do that. I can't do that. God's already given me, and he's revealed what he wants." So I put my resignation and I walked it out. And so I started here in the ministry in 1985, January of 85. And, you know, they brought me on staff here to do something. And so you've heard my story. The ministry paid me what they could afford. That was a shock. I had to take a deep, big breath. Because you're so used to living a certain way, but God said, "No, this is where I want you." And so I had to decide, okay, but you know how we are naturally. I had saved a lot of money. I was good at saving. I didn't spend a lot. I spent, but I didn't. I kept and had kept a good amount of money in the bank. So, you know, in your natural mind, hey, no problem. I'll live off the savings. Yeah. 1 year, I ran out. And now I'm back. Oh, God. How am I going to live? No faith. But God spoke to me and he said, "I want you to believe for this amount of money." And it started coming in. But all through that, things didn't work properly. I was miscast in the ministry doing some things. So I remember one day, pastors called me in and said, "Well, we're not going to fire you." Now here, my mind is racing at this point, thinking, "You got to be kidding me. I just left a good job, and this is not working out." So your mind has got all kinds of things going on, thinking, "Did I make a mistake? Is this, you know, you understand my point?" And so at that point, they kept me on and then reduced what little I got even more. So I had to take a big breath. But God is good because I went home and he said, what did I tell you to do? I told you to come work here. So I did, and I came back the next day and I said, it's going to be just fine. Everything will be fine. And I kept doing and just kept being faithful. And that's the point, that God, you just think about people that have believed the report of the Lord. Think about the generations that are being affected because of your yes, because you believe something that God spoke. I mean, when I think about, you know, Pastor Sarah and Clinton saying yes to do what God called them to do. Look at the people that have been affected and the lives that have been affected. So the same thing, when you believe God, when God tells you to do something, do it. No matter how hard or uncomfortable it is, God will see you through. And if you'll just believe his report, all will be well. You won't march around the desert for 40 years. That's not going to be us. We're going to say yes to God, aren't we? Praise God. I know I am. I know you are. But my question, and just saying again, whose report are you going to believe? Are you going to believe your finances, which are temporary, or are you going to believe God's report to you? I will supply all your need according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Are you going to believe his report? But what the doctors say, himself took my infirmities and he bore my sicknesses, and with his stripes I have been healed. So we're going to leave this year and take hold, embrace the report of the Lord. How about you? That's why it's important. Keep feeding, keep feeding, keep feeding on the word. Faith will come. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that it's life to us. You came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So we thank you, Father, for abundance and prosperity and health. Thank you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for what Jesus has done for us. And Father, let us shine brighter and brighter and brighter and share with those that don't know the good news of the gospel. Let us go forth and lay hands upon the sick and to cast out devils where needed. And Father, we thank you for it. Use us in a greater capacity as we enter this new decade. And we look expectantly for your return. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen.